Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. So I want to start off the show here by asking, is there any limits to how dumb a liberal is? And apparently the answer is no. And it fits perfectly in line with a while ago, me hearing what the difference between genius and stupidity is. And it's the best definition that I've ever heard. The difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits. That's right, there is absolutely no limits to the stupidity of liberals. And you can trace this to the decline of the education system, a purposeful decline that the Democrats have engaged in to dumb down the country, to make it easier to manipulate and lie to, and to accept the taking away of our rights and freedom and the implementation of censorship. So why do I bring this up? Why do I bring up saying that there is no limit to stupidity as I'm about to talk about the left? Well, Mark Dice came out with a hilarious video yesterday. Now, for those of you who don't know, Mark Dice is a YouTube creator. He is a conservative content creator, and he does a lot of short videos where he points out the stupidity and the insanity of the left. And some of the videos he does a man on the street bit where he goes out and thinks of something crazy to try and get petition for, to see how many people would support it. And so he did this on Monday, and it's really quite hilarious, where he's going out there and getting people to sign a petition to put Triceratops on the endangered species list. Yes, that's right. The dinosaur, Triceratops, that has been extinct for millions of years, if not billions at this point, has been extinct along with all the other dinosaurs. And yet he was out on the streets of California talking about, you know, wanting to put them on the endangered species list because he's claiming that there are people hunting down the few remaining Triceratops, you know, big game hunters, and putting their heads on as trophies on their walls. Now, you would think here, as far as the average person, they would take a look at this whole idea, Triceratops on an endangered species list, they're already extinct. They've been extinct for millions and millions of years. And how would anybody be able to be hunting down Triceratops and hanging their heads on the wall as trophies when they've been extinct long before the existence of mankind? You would think that would be the question. You would think people would register Triceratops, dinosaur, extinct, not an endangered species that people are currently hunting. And yet, as he was going off and doing this, most people in California, at least the people on the video, were signing the petition talking about how it is just wrong to be hunting down these Triceratops for trophy, for sport. And, you know, yes, we need to save endangered species like Triceratops. So it was quite funny. Now, there were a couple of people, admittedly, that looked at him and goes, "What? You're a little late. They've been extinct. They're extinct. You know, you can't save an extinct species." So there was like maybe two people out of all of them on the video that looked at this, you know, Triceratops and realized what was going on. But the amount of people that would actually engage in the conversation and sign the petition to put the Triceratops on the endangered species list to save them, the amount of people where it didn't register that this is an extinct dinosaur that he was talking about. And Mark Dice even wore a shirt that had pictures of the Triceratops on him. And people still did not register in California that this was a hoax. They were engaging. They were talking about their outrage over people hunting down Triceratops. So it just goes on to show that there is no limit, no bottom to the stupidity of the left. And the people who fell for this whole Triceratops on the endangered species list are the same people going out there and not only voting, but demanding that you accept whatever they claim, whether that is their claims about transgenderism, their claims about the climate, their claims about whatever, you know, that you take it as undeniable truth and that they are the smartest people on the planet. And that we should be doing exactly what they want us to do in order to create a utopian society. And when you go through and you take a look at it all, it really kind of leaves you speechless, right? Leaves you speechless that those who claim that they are on the right side of history are this stupid and that they are trying to dictate for the rest of us the policies and laws that we should live under, how we need to save the world. Save the world. They still believe that there are triceratops around in order to save and put on the endangered species list. So I don't know what to really go through and say beyond this. The dumbing down of the education system and the stupidity of the Democrat supporters and how, well, I guess you can't underestimate stupid people in large numbers, which definitely explains the Democrat Party and the acceptance of a fraudulent election, along with all of the policies that they claim without any actual evidence. So when you go through and you see the left talking and demand that you accept whatever they say as undeniable truth, remember, these are the same people stupid enough to think that there are still triceratops left in the world to try and save by placing them on the endangered species list, who do not recognize that they are an extinct dinosaur that died millions and millions of years ago, along with all the other dinosaurs. Now, as funny as all that is with Mark Dice's video, there's even funnier news that is coming out about the revolt against Joe Biden and the Democrats' fraudulent administration here. Now, a joke song on iTunes hits number one on the hip-hop chart. The song is titled Let's Go Brandon. Now, if you're not familiar, the joke is an anti-Biden song. Let's Go Brandon is currently trending number one on iTunes hip-hop chart, a jocular but embarrassing slight against the Biden administration that has been ongoing for several weeks, being reported by Just the News. The meme, Let's Go Brandon, stems from a NASCAR sportscast in which a group of fans, if you're not aware of this, could be heard making a vulgar chant, you know, basically F Joe Biden. And the reporter, Kelly Stravis, mistakenly claimed that the crowd was chanting Let's Go Brandon in support of driver Brandon Brown. Now, rapper Loza Alexander subsequently made a hip-hop mashup of the chanting crowd. The song has since skyrocketed to the top of iTunes hip-hop rundown. The slogan has also appeared on merchandise throughout the country and has become a staple on social media. So yes, you know, we all know how everybody across the country is saying F Joe Biden, as Joe Biden is the most unpopular occupant of the White House, at least in modern history. I don't know if not all of American history, or at least since the beginning of polling where we have the data. But Joe Biden is just pissed everybody off. You know, nobody likes him. Of course, most of us recognize that he is constitutionally illegitimate. But the fact that they continue to try and cover for Joe Biden in the media, where even as the crowds are blatantly chanting F Joe Biden and the media tries to cover and try to claim that the crowds are chanting something else, goes to show how in the tank the media is for him. And so Let's Go Brandon has become a kid-friendly version of F Joe Biden, where kids and people of all ages, even down to the youngest child, can chant Let's Go Brandon and have it be a PG version of what people are really saying. And that Let's Go Brandon is code for F Joe Biden. And it is so known among the media and among the left that Let's Go Brandon is to make fun of this reporter trying to cover up for the crowd actually chanting F Joe Biden, that other countries now, such as that in Canada, are now banning the phrase since they are able to engage in speech censorship, even stating that government employees who put Let's Go Brandon in any email or government communication will be immediately fired because they know exactly what Let's Go Brandon really means. It's obvious. And so now that we see this going on and someone just comes up with a song on iTunes and F Joe Biden, or, you know, officially Let's Go Brandon, immediately jumps to number one on iTunes, really goes on to show you how unpopular Joe Biden and the Democrats are and how pissed off the country is at them. And it also goes off to show, while hilariously, this story is. It also has implications for just how bad the 2022 midterm elections are going to be for the Democrat Party. Okay, now it's time to get into some more serious news here. And this one is very disturbing. And it's not related to what's going on in D.C., at least not directly. And the article from the Hot Air titled, "Appalled, Woman Raped on Philly Train and No One Intervened." Yes, you heard that right. And so the article reads, "Someone should have done something," Upper Darby Police Superintendent Timothy Bernhard told reporters. "You think?" Instead, several bystanders stood around while a homeless man first groped a woman and then tore her clothes off and raped her. No one even bothered to call 911 until a police officer boarded the car and did it himself. By that time, the spectators had sat around and watched for 8 full minutes while this woman was being raped. As the woman was being raped while on a train near Philadelphia on Wednesday night, riders watched, failed to intervene, and did not call 911, the authority said. A man whom officials identified as Fiston Ngoy, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, sat down next to a woman at about 10 p.m. on a train that was traveling westbound on the Market Frankford line towards 69th Street Transportation Center. Mr. Ngoy attempted to touch her a few times, said Andrew Bush, a spokesman for the Southern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, known as SEPTA. The woman pushed back and tried to stop Mr. Ngoy from touching her, Mr. Bush said. Then, unfortunately, he proceeded to rip her clothes off. The assault lasted about 8 minutes, and no passengers in the train car intervened, the authority said. Bernhard said he was appalled at the lack of intervention by the people on the train. The entire episode was captured on surveillance video that showed other people on the train at the time. Quote, "There were other people on the train who witnessed this horrific act, and it may have been stopped sooner if a rider called 911, authorities said. And the article continues on this way, and talking about the incident and how no one did anything while this guy was raping this girl right in front of everybody. Now think about this for a moment. How much society has fallen that someone can go through, rape a girl in front of a bunch of people, and not a single person so much as calls 911? And why didn't they? Well, you don't have to be a mind reader to figure out why no one did anything and why no one even bothered to call 911. Simply put, they were afraid. They were more afraid of what the left-wing mob would do to them than they were about what this guy is doing to this woman. Because, well, as you go through and you take a look at the mugshot, you understand that this person is considered by the left part of a historically marginalized group. And when you take a look at the left, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and the media demonizing the police, you know, with the media running false narratives about police shootings and the Black Lives Matter rioting whenever a black man gets shot. So what do you think was going through these minds? Oh my God, this person's raping this girl. What if I intervene? Well, if I'm white and I try intervening to stop this guy from raping this woman, then I'm a white guy attacking a black person. What is the left-wing mob going to do to me? Or, hey, I know, I'll just call 911. But if the police show up and the guy ends up being armed and they passengers probably don't know whether the guy is armed or not, and the police officers are forced to defend themselves while the guy is resisting arrest or attacking the police or, you know, whatever mental issues the guy may have. Well, if the incident results in a police shooting, whether or not the guy dies, maybe he's just, you know, incapacitated and taken to the hospital. The people are afraid of, what will the left-wing mob do to me? I called the police on a black man. The black man ended up getting shot or hurt during an arrest. What is the left-wing mob going to do to me for calling the police, reporting a crime, because this person's skin color is considered historically marginalized? This is the result of the left, their policies, and also the result of the policies that the Democrats are engaged in to try and stop the police from enforcing the law, to stop the police from being able to protect the community. And so even if the police showed up, how much would they be able to do? Now, incidentally, when you take a look at the left and who they claim to be their supporters, you know, they claim all women should be supporters of the Democrat Party and, black people. And so when they got a black person attacking a woman, they're not really sure what to do. And so they have to refer to their chart of hierarchy of which group is more important than the other, rather than saying every individual is important and every crime should be prosecuted. But if it wasn't for the attack by the left on the police, if it wasn't for the defund the police movement, if it wasn't for the fact that the left riots and burns down cities anytime the cops have to use force against a criminal, if it wasn't for all of that, do you think people would have hesitated to intervene to help save this woman, even if all they could muster up the courage to do was call 911? No. But because of all of that has been in play for quite some time, people stood around, did nothing, because they were afraid that the left-wing mob would attack them if they reported the crime of rape in progress and the police had to show up. Now, luckily, a police officer did eventually show up just to take transportation, and upon witnessing the crime, called for backup and intervened and stopped. But this went on for quite some time with no one doing anything because they were more afraid of the left's reaction to them calling the police than what was going to happen to this woman. Unbelievable. This is sickening. But this is the world we now live in as a result of the left, their propaganda campaign, and their acts of terrorism whenever they don't get their way. And their way is the laws are not applied to them. They are immune. They are exempt from any and all laws, and they're allowed to do whatever they want. And anybody who calls the cops claiming the contrary, that the laws do apply to them, they must be taught a lesson. So is this a society that the Democrats keep talking about when they're talking about how they're going to build a utopian society, a more freer, fairer society? The instances of rape where no one does anything? Is that it? Or is it the Democrats now saying that, hey, when it comes to a historically marginalized group, you don't have a say over your body. It's not your body, your choice. You must submit and allow them to do whatever they want. You're not allowed to say no. Is that what the Democrats are going for here? I'm just asking the questions here because we got to analyze not just the rape that took place, but the environment, the mentality that is in place that caused people, just standing around while the rape was going on in full view of them to not even so much as dial 911 to help this woman. And we got to start wondering why it is they didn't, which doesn't take much thought at all. And then take a look at the consequences of the extreme left and their push and their propaganda campaign. Now, speaking of the Democrats, there are a lot of internal battles going on within the Democrat Party. They have lost that cohesion that they have been so famously known for, where they operate with the Borg mentality, the hive mind. And yet now there seems to be a lot of infighting, and that infighting is going in to their support group. And so we know about the fighting with Manchin and Sinema and a couple other, whether they claim to be centrist Democrats, whether any such thing exists. But there's also going on, and the Democrats are now having a little tiff with the media. That's right, the media. So after Bernie Sanders and Pelosi starts blasting the media, you're not doing your job enough on selling our agenda, on selling our $3.5 trillion bill. The reason it's not getting enough support is because you and the media are not doing your job. Well, in a rare instance, the media is pushing back on their Democrat masters. Now, think about this for a moment. The audacity of the Democrats that they are so used to the media just doing and reporting whatever they tell the media to report. I've gotten so used to it, they don't even think twice about it. Well, the media appears to be a little frustrated at this and are getting sick and tired of always having to do the Democrats' job for them. So as the Daily Wire reports, journalists from the most, quote, prestigious outlets in the legacy media responded to congressional Democrats criticizing, telling Democrats that it's not our job to promote the president's $3.5 trillion Build Back Better spending bill. Criticisms of the media intensified over the weekend as Bernie Sanders joined Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi in blaming legacy media for public ignorance of the bill's content, which have yet to be finalized. Quote, the mainstream media has done an exceptionally poor job in covering what's actually in the legislation, Sanders said in a statement released Friday. Despite President Biden having introduced this proposal 5 months ago, a majority of Americans have very little knowledge as to what is in this bill. One of the most consequential pieces of legislation for working people in modern history of our country. It is absurd that so many people, and so many of them, don't know what is in the bill, he continued. Why is that? There are a number of reasons, but at the top of the list is really the mainstream media has done an exceptionally poor job in covering what's actually in the legislation. And it continues. The foundations of American democracy are threatened not only by extremism, but by ignorance and lack of knowledge. The American people have a right to know what is in the bill. My hope is that the mainstream media will fulfill their responsibility and make that happen. So the unfamiliar criticisms and calls for journalism, our journalists, to engage in blatant advocacy of legislation did not sit well with journalists, who protested that they do not act as cheerleaders for a political party or a partisan agenda. And they responded, with all due respect to the Democratic senator, it's not our job to sell your agenda, said Ayman Mohiuddin on his new weekend show on MSNBC. You and your colleagues have to do a better job of selling the bill to the American people, they responded. Now, there are several ways to go about reporting this story here about how the Democrats' relationship with the media is so cozy that they don't even try and hide the collusion with the media, how they'll go out there in public right on front of the cameras and tell the media how to report stories or what to do, or how they're really just nothing more than the marketing arm of the Democrat Party. Right? And maybe the media is getting frustrated with the Democrat Party, always having to carry their bag, always having to try and carry them across the finish line and cover up for them and so forth, that maybe they're just getting tired of it. Maybe some of them, you know, actually did get into their profession because they really wanted to be journalists. And journalism is not what they are doing. But it could also be that the media, being filled with a bunch of egomaniacs who just love seeing themselves on TV all the time, are getting frustrated by the fact that in carrying the water for the Democrat Party, they have been exposed as just a fraudulent institution. Now, the media has been running fake stories, false narratives, and being activists rather than journalists for a long time now. But it's gotten increasingly worse over the last 20 years, especially over the last 12 years, with the number of times that they have been caught running a fake news story or running debunked narratives and getting called out for how fake their coverage is. The media has gone from being, you know, esteemed, you know, celebrity-like and trusted to being as unpopular as the members of Congress themselves, whereby now when they go out in the field to do reporting, they are mocked for the fake news that they are. People chanting fake news in the background, people going off and calling them out, you know, getting on camera in the background while they're out in the field and shouting into the camera, mocking these so-called journalists, and being put down where they have become the scourge of society. Well, this is very damaging to their egos, where they can't go anywhere to do any live coverage without somebody going off and trying to get on camera, calling them out for the fake and phonies that they are, for the liars that they are. And they are incredibly unpopular. Well, if you're an egomaniac being mocked everywhere you go, well, you can't have that. And the more blatant the corruption and the collusion, the more blatant the news stories being pushed are fake, the more they are going to get mocked. So maybe the media is, after having their feelings hurt and their ego bubble burst, is starting to push back and saying, hey, we are not going to keep carrying the water for you. If you can't sell your own agenda being elected into office, why should we sell it for you? You know, because you're only dragging us down. You know, the Democrat Party is like the Titanic and it's not only sinking themselves, but they are sinking everybody that colludes with them. And so there is also another angle here whereby the media, having gone so far overboard in the fake news and the fake narratives, especially during the Trump administration, now that they have achieved their objective and virtually destroyed themselves in the process, they may be trying to push back because of their lack of ratings and the loss of money, that if it continues, they're going to be out of a job and lose their $1 million plus a year salary or multi-million dollar a year salary. And money may be a stronger motivation than loyalty among the Democrat Party. And so after achieving their objective of trying to drive Trump out of office by any means necessary, now the media may be pushing back against the Democrats as they try to attempt rebuilding their credibility, attempt to make a shift in how they go about reporting stuff to try and convince the people, okay, now that Trump's out of office, we're done with the fake news and the fake narratives. We're now going to get back into journalism so you can trust us again. And to show you that you can trust us again, here's us pushing back on the Democrats who are trying to tell us how to report something. See, we're trustworthy again. So we got some infighting and we have some possible motivations for this. You know, getting tired of the Democrats whipping them and to selling the Democrat agenda, getting tired of being mocked for running the fake news that the media that the Democrats tell the media to run, or after losing so much money and so much audience, they're trying to rebuild some sense of credibility before they lose their job and their multi-million dollar salary. Or it could be all of the above. But the fact that the media is starting to push back against the Democrat Party is at least a good sign. I wouldn't say that all of a sudden the media is going to be trustworthy again. That has yet to be seen. Of course, they weren't trustworthy even before Obama took office, but money is a good motivator to push back against somebody. So we'll see how this plays out, whether this is just an isolated incident, you know, to show, you know, see, we pushed back against the Democrat once, so you can trust us, or whether the deteriorating relationship between the Democrats and the media continue. Now, whether or not it continues, it doesn't really matter. The media, the legacy media, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, you can't ever trust them ever again in any way, shape, or form. All right, now one last story here, and it's titled The Mystery of Japan's Disappearing COVID Crisis. So they had gone through in this article here, and it's written by Hot Air, and they're talking about how the Associated Press described the measures that Japan had implemented to combat COVID as basically toothless, didn't do anything. Right. And then there was a point in time where Tokyo had gone from reporting more than 6,000 new cases per day to less than 100 cases a week. And they can't figure out why this is, why they're going on. Now, the article goes through and says, well, maybe it's due to the, you know, vaccine. You know, 70% of the population has received the vaccine. It could also be that after a long period of time of all of these new cases, that people got it. It was very mild for most of them, or the vast majority of them. And now they're naturally immune, achieving natural immunity and achieving herd immunity as a result of that. Or buried in the story, right? Buried in the story here, it states, part of the decline in COVID cases is no doubt attributable to the country's accelerated vaccine push. While it started off very slowly, the article reads, they have now surged to the point of 70% of the population has received the shot. However, it could also be the fact that they didn't have accurate reporting to begin with. That's right. While they were going off and reporting all of these cases in Tokyo, in Japan, they were only estimating because they didn't have the testing kit. So this is interesting. So they're saying that there was a sharp decline in COVID cases, in new COVID cases, and they're trying to figure out why. And while the Associated Press is maybe trying to credit it to the vaccine and discount the idea that after spreading through the population and not being very serious for the vast majority of the population, you know, and dismissing the idea of natural immunity, what's interesting is buried in the article here is a talk about testing kits and how they didn't have hardly any testing kit to test it. So they were just guessing. They were estimating. People would show up. They didn't have a testing kit. And so they took a look at, okay, based off of testing that has been done on average, out of this many tests, this many people have reported positive. So we're going to use that and say that that is constant and report that. So it can't be due to the fact that the reported cases that were going on were overinflated to begin with. No. We can't ever consider that possible. Now, we know the deal. We know the deal where COVID cases and COVID deaths have been drastically inflated and falsely reported. And places like New York City, where they implemented policies where if anyone died for any reason, if they just suspected the person could have had COVID, then they listed it as a death due to COVID. If you died in a motorcycle accident, well, if they thought it was possible that you could have had COVID, even though you died in a vehicle accident, we're going to list COVID as the cause of death, and so on and so forth. So we know that they have been screwing with the data, falsifying the reports, inflating the numbers in order to engage in their scare tactic. And so now when we get into here and we take a look at how Japan had been reporting their COVID cases by just guessing because they didn't have actual testing kits. And then now we see that COVID cases have drastically declined. Well, was the decline due to vaccines? Was the decline due to natural immunity after it had already spread through the country? Or was the decline the result of their numbers were just bogus to begin with, and now that they've gotten more testing kits to get more accurate information, we're finding out that the actual level of COVID cases is only a fraction of what was previously reported. I'll let you be the judge and jury about which of those situations you think is most plausible. All right, so that's it for this particular episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening in. Don't forget to leave me a rating and review and share this around on social media. Thank you so much, and I will be back again soon.